Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, yo, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, for the most, the king of kings himself, the bad guy himself. I am the hot boy. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, the stupendous, the fantastic, the magnificent, the most wonderful guy in the world. His name is Sean Black.
Yes, throwing his toothpick at you. Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. And remember, hard work does pay off. Dreams do come true. What's the last two, Sean Black?
It is for life, apparently.
No, you forgot the rest of the speech. Bad times don't last. But bad guys do, hey, yo.
Yes.
But that's a little thing between Sean Black and I. He will figure it out one day. But ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
For those that know what we're talking about, you would understand those Easter eggs that we just threw in there. So.
Oh, it's for the wrestling fans, okay? Let's just say it like
yes.
That. For the wrestling fans.
Yes.
All right, guys. You know the number, 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. And I'm not going to lie to you, ladies and gentlemen, to our free listeners out there. I am very shocked as well because a couple weeks ago, Sean Black quit on me. And 2 weeks later, he decided to come back to me. It was like Tom Brady retired, quote-unquote, which he made his announcement yesterday. He was coming back to play for Tampa Bay Bucks. It's like, not surprised. But before we get into it, Sean Black, were you surprised at Tom Brady coming back for his 23rd season in the NFL?
To some degree, yeah. There was a small inkling in the back of the mind. It was like, he's going to leave the door open, potentially, let's see what happens. But at the same time, it was like, well, let the man, if he says he's retiring, just let him retire. You know how everybody was saying, oh, let him come back mid-season. Let him come back and do all of these things. No, just let the guy retire. But he decided to come back. And you want to know who should really feel upset? The person that actually auctioned off and bought Tom Brady's supposed last NFL touchdown pass that he threw against the Rams this year in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And that
went for
$518,000. And now that he is no longer retired, good luck with that. I would feel it's
worthless. I'd be upset. And for me, I'm not surprised. I'm not pissed off. The only thing I'm a little bit shocked on, how soon it got there. You know,
mm-hmm.
I thought it would last at least maybe up to August or close to maybe July when he catch that itch. But I think one of the main reasons why he's coming back, on my personal view, that loss against the Rams left a bad taste in his mouth.
Probably.
You know what I mean? It's like they were so close. And just to know that the Rams won the Super Bowl is one of would have, could have, should have, you know? Or what if? What if we had beat the Rams? That could be us winning the Super Bowl back-to-back. You never
exactly.
know. Exactly. And I think that's what one reason why he's coming back. But enough about that sport. On to another sport because lately, ladies and gentlemen, I know we talk about mental illness and I'll talk about a lot of crazy things that's going on in the world today. If you live in New York, there's something that's been going on, craziness nonstop. Lately, now we have a killer on the streets of New York City killing homeless people or shooting at homeless people. Yes, guy who he started his shooting in Washington, D.C., now made it to New York and shooting up random homeless people. Now, Sean Black, does this make any sense to you? Or does it show you that the upscale of mental illness or being disturbed, living this crazy society today?
I think it also is even more so an indictment on how the homeless problem has really gone completely unattended to.
So
we seem to have so many homeless people on the streets, and for whatever various problems, whether it being drugs, loss of job, gambling, it could be a myriad of issues that happen with the homeless to have them on the streets, to be in a situation where they don't feel safe getting shelter. Then you then add that extra layer that you just talked about of potentially somebody that is a serial killer of homeless people. Three instances in the New York area. I believe there were two in D.C. or one in D.C. that they said is confirmed, including, like you said, a stabbing and shootings. And they've now found, I believe, the shell casing or the forensics on the gun, on a bullet on one of the victims, kind of matches one of the other victims in the other state. So we know that whoever it is that is doing this has been seen on video. The video that we've seen on local news and now national news of this person going over to a homeless person that was under some covers on a sidewalk. He kicked him to see if he was actually alive, and then he pulled out the gun and shot him. So that is in and of itself another dynamic as part of this that is really, really scary and sick. At the same time, something.
Yeah, but isn't that like a head scratcher? Isn't that head scratcher like a homeless person minding him or her own business, trying to survive in the streets of New York? Maybe hungry, maybe desperate, or maybe just want to be left alone. And boom, your life is taken away for no apparent reason.
Exactly.
No reason whatsoever. And it's taken.
Yes. I think one of the things that we're seeing more of is we all know living in this world, it can be quite challenging just to navigate everyday life between paying bills, you know, making sure you have food on the table, taking care of children, family members, that kind of thing, just dealing with everyday life. But if you have lost that aspect of it and you've lost a part of yourself, and then you find yourself in a position where you are homeless, you're hoping that you find what little solitude in what little you own. Because we've seen when you walk the streets and you see the homeless, there are a lot of homeless people that don't feel safe in a shelter. And we've talked about this on our show before. But we also know that going into seeing the homeless, we know that they're very, very protective of the little, small amount of items that they may own. It could just be a bag with some pictures, a bowl that they had from a previous life, a memento, food, a shopping cart, any little thing that they own, they take with pride with them. And to know that there's somebody out there that doesn't even recognize that that person has just that, they're not even allowed to be to have any dignity while they are on the streets, something has to be done. And as I've said before, the homeless has been a real big problem. We know in New York and in along the East Coast, in Florida, in Virginia, in certain places, homelessness is huge. But we're also hearing now about homelessness, an uptick in homelessness in California. Most of that has happened because of, we know about the dot-com bubble that happened. We know about the pandemic. A lot of people lost jobs. A lot of people lost the amount of money that they had. And then they are now, because of the rising costs of housing, rent,
inflation,
and all of these, exactly, you're going to start to see a lot of people that were at one time prominent with jobs, et cetera. Now they are homeless. So So this is becoming a huge problem. And when we know that because of the epidemic that has happened in the country, we're starting to see a lot of states that had laws that kind of pushed away the rent debt issue, where people were, they were putting a freeze on paying rent for people that had overdue rent that they couldn't pay. Those laws are now out, those protections that had people that were holding off on the rent. A lot of those people that were paying rent that had no money or any income coming in, they may end up homeless also. So then you got to think about that. And if you have children, if you have relatives and your own property, it's going to be a real tough time.
Well, with everything that you just mentioned, Sean, like with inflation and prices going on, when people are working their ass off or who make it minimum wage can't afford these things, that might become homeless, because homeless doesn't mean that you do not have a job. There are families out there who are working families, who are living in shelters because the minimum wage that they're making or whatever money that they're making is not enough for them to live in an apartment or in a condo or in a house at all, which is really crazy.
Yeah.
And with this war, and with this war that's going on right now in Ukraine with Russia, with the WNBA basketball player, Brittany, that got arrested. Sean, with this chaos that's going on, with the gas prices that's soaring through the roof right now, everybody's blaming Joe Biden because of the gas prices. With Brittany in jail right now for what she has done, with Ukraine getting demolished by Russia, which one do you want to attack first? Which one do you want to discuss first?
Whew. I guess we could talk about the Brittany Griner situation.
Exactly. Like, pick your poison, as I like.
Yeah. It's a lot. And if you're looking at it from the standpoint of, we know what's been going on in the Ukraine because that has been at the forefront of all news for the last 3 weeks. We know what's going on. We know what is at stake. We've talked about it. As a matter of fact, our last show, we talked about it as far as just as the invasion was starting up, that we talked about that. Now that we talk about the Brittany Griner instance that happened, it's a little more of, I think you'll understand where I'm going with this. I think it'll be a little more of an indictment on the United States to some degree as much as it is on Russia. But Brittany Griner, who plays in the WNBA, in the off season, she plays for a Russian team. And the reason why she does that is because she can make more money. She goes overseas and plays for the Russian team, and she makes a little over $1.5 million a year. So playing in Russia.
I'm sorry, Sean. I just want to point out that when you just said she makes $1 million overseas, her salary cap over here in the United States, where she plays for the Phoenix Mercury, I believe, is over $200,000.
Yes.
That is insane and disgusting at the same time. Very disgusted by that. Well, carry on.
Yes. The fact that she would have to go overseas to make a living for, and let's really put it to you like this. Although we've made jumps and leaps and progress in women's sports in the United States, because remember, the WNBA didn't exist until shortly after the 1996 Olympic Games, when we know that there was a lot of love in the United States for women's athletics. And there were a lot of Title IX issues that have to deal with the getting equality in not only collegiate athletics, but also pro athletics. And there were initially two pro basketball teams. There were, I believe it was called the AAW. I can't remember the name of the league, but there were two leagues, the WNBA and that league. That league was absorbed by the WNBA, which meant there was an actual professional league in America. And figuring that you have a professional league, that meant that a lot of collegiate athletes did not have to necessarily go overseas just to be able to continue their careers. Because in the United States, once you graduated school, college, or whatever was the case, you either played overseas or your playing career is over. So the WNBA is here, and we're now well over 20 years, 25 years later, and the WNBA is going strong. Yet, as you just pointed out and I've talked about here, players are not making anywhere near the amount of money that they deserve. Part of it is because of the gates as far as attendance. We know that the NBA is trying to help the WNBA exist because of that loss in revenue from part of it is from the pandemic, but a lot of it also has been the attendance has not been as good as it could be. And we've seen a lot of teams relocate, players moving around. But to get back to Brittany Griner's situation, the only reason why this is happening is because she was in Russia, as I said before, playing during a season overseas and was caught with hashish oil, which is illegal in Russia. And Brittany Griner being arrested at the airport with the hashish oil in her luggage, she is literally facing 10 years in jail. And it's not just in Russia, this isn't like regular jail. This is like factory, hard labor kind of stuff that she's going to potentially be facing.
It will make Rikers Island look like paradise right now.
Yes. And knowing the relations between Russia and the United States, there is going to be potentially an on-ramp potentially for the United States and conflict with Russia to kind of reach a little bit of an uptick, knowing what's going on with Ukraine. And we know all of the NATO countries are unified in helping to defend the area and help Ukraine fight against this invasion of their country. Now, we don't know what's going to happen. We know that the president, Joe Biden, is trying to see how to diplomatically kind of maneuver around this without trying to, you know, start World War III by having an international incident. But these are the kinds of things that diplomacy helps out. And we don't know what the discussions are between Russia and the United States of trying to get this taken care of. But
do you think they're
really,
actually
really
hard on this? Do you think they're working hard in this situation? Do you think they're really working hard on the situation trying to get Brittany out? Or do you think they're getting too laid back on this situation?
First of all, we know that this arrest actually happened about a week or two before the news actually was sent out. So there was kind of a news delay between that. Second of all, in Russia there are a lot of laws that are looked at as bad. And one of them is the fact that hashish oil, an American. And not just that, Brittany Griner is a lesbian, which is not looked at in the greatest of odds in the Russian culture, especially in the eyes of Putin and his government. And there's still a lot of draconian mindsets and laws against people being gay in Russia. So that's one of the other things that Brittany Griner has going against her. And she's getting a lot of support from the United States and other countries are seeing what the situation is doing. But the longer that this goes on, the longer it seems like it's going to really be an uphill battle to try to get Brittany Griner back in the United States without some kind of incident happening.
Yeah, but why are we hearing about this now? This happened last month, to say. And basically, if this was another athlete like Tom Brady who's coming back from retirement, will U.S. have done something about it? Or would we have heard this in the news right away?
Probably. There's a good possibility that, it, depending on who it was, there would be much more of an outcry, a bigger stink, as the expression goes, of why this hasn't been more attention paid to this. But I think going forward, if you're going to look at what the issue is, this is an African-American who is gay, who is in another country that is warring with another country that is befriending NATO. or at least in the sense that the Ukraine wanted to join NATO. Vladimir Putin does not want that to happen. And you have the neighboring NATO countries trying to support helping the Ukraine defend itself. With all of this happening, to think that this could actually be the impetus to getting the United States into an escalation, it's crazy.
Well,
but it also goes to show you how many small things happen in the turn of between politics and current events that you don't think about.
Okay, 6606, you're on the air.
Yeah, I know that, Hot Rod. I'm just waiting for a chance to call in. Hello, Hot. Hello, Sean. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's going on?
I have to make sure it's you before I say it was you, Joe. I was just fucking make sure.
You have to make sure it's me before you're sure it's me. Well, now you're sure it's me.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So you're talking. I don't even know about this. I don't even know about this topic that you guys are talking about. Black LGBT athlete, I guess she is, in Ukraine.
Right.
I know nothing about it.
No problem. I'll give you a topic that you know you have a lot to say. These gas prices that's happening right now in the United States. If this is really Joe Biden's fault with the gas prices, can he do something about it?
Well, I mean, he did shut down the pipeline, right, his first 30 days in office. He's also, he's sanctioning Russia's imports of gas and oil into America. Plus, we have the Federal Reserve, which is not exactly famous for keeping inflation down. And I happen to believe there is such a thing as the Illuminati, and the Illuminati want to destroy America and the world and kill everybody in it. So as far as I'm concerned, Biden being as stupid and cognitively impaired as he is, this all seems to be part and parcel of a concerted effort just to ruin everything in America. Ruin everything in the world.
Okay. So this is more Joe Biden than Ukraine-Russia conflict that's happening right now. You're saying that Biden is a bigger problem?
Well, of course. I mean, have you seen him lately? You might have to remind him that he's president of the United States.
I don't think he remembered that he's a president of the United States sometime, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, the guy's a shitty president, and the Ukraine, I've heard different stories about why there's a conflict between Russia and the Ukraine, so I don't even really know what to believe, because I don't believe the mainstream media, and I don't know if the alt-right is getting their news from reliable sources either. From what I've read, there's supposed to be 6 biolabs in the Ukraine funded by the United States, similar to the same biolab that the Chinese virus came from. The COVID-19.
The coronavirus, the Chinese virus.
Yeah. So. I hear that Putin went after those biolabs. So anything else besides that, I don't know what to believe. And I guess we'll just have to find out as time goes on.
Okay. Sean, Black, anything else to add on before we move on?
No, I think we can probably move on further past this, because it seems like right now everything is right now at a kind of like at a standstill right now. There hasn't been a whole lot of movement on either side right now. So I guess we'll figure that out in the next couple of days, because it seems like things are starting to move towards something.
If we're still here. But besides that, there's a bill going on in Florida, no surprise in Florida, where you can't say gay. Or can I tease the kid is gay? Sean Black, since you're happy and gay, Tell me more about this bill.
Of course. This is a bill that was sponsored by Dennis Baxley, who is a state representative for Florida, and it is called the Parental Rights in Education Bill, which limits what classrooms can teach about sexual orientation and gender. It's one of those bills that, for those that are on the conservative side that do not think that you should be teaching those kinds of teachings in class, this gives them some sort of law to back them so that they don't have to worry about quote-unquote teaching about LGBTQ ideals, et cetera. But it also gives parents, this is the kicker that a lot of people have really looked at right now. It gives parents the power to sue teachers and schools themselves that actually do try to teach about sexual orientation and gender identity, et cetera. Because we do know that in this country, we do have a section of the population where there are children that are now growing up LGBTQ in that community. And we also know that there are parents that are LGBTQ that have children, and they have to figure out a way to be able to learn in class but also get some kind of positive reinforcement of those ideals. And this law basically makes it illegal. Now, if you're going to find out if this is going to be a law, it's passed the Senate and the House. So it's a matter of the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. If it's going to get to his desk, he hasn't necessarily said anything about him signing it yet, but he is in favor of the bill. And if it does get signed, it would pass. It would be legal as of July the 1st of this year. So that's literally where the bill stands.
So what's the problem? You're not allowed to say gay. You're not allowed to say gay. You're not allowed to teach children about sexual orientation. What's the problem? So we talked about this in the past topic before.
Here's the problem. We have seen in, especially in Florida and Texas and a lot of states that are in, that are Trump states, especially in those states that I just mentioned, there is an increasing propensity to litigate certain ideals out of schools, out of being able to teach certain things to kids. And as I said before, we talked about on this show more than once the suicide rates of children that are either gay, lesbian, or in the LGBTQ community. And those suicide numbers go up because in a lot of instances, they don't seem to feel comfortable in the areas that they're at because of being bullied, being made fun of. How many times have we seen stories of violence towards teenagers in schools based on the fact that this kid is gay, or this kid is a lesbian? And finding out that now if they want to turn to somebody that is in a school setting, they have to keep their mouth shut and not talk about it in school, in class. Now, in some instances, you're going to have that ideal that, and I think what the essence of the bill is that's supposed to be taught by the parents. But once the parents have taught it to their children and the children go to school, where does that aspect of their education for that continue at all? There is sex education in school. Well, we all were taught it in high school or in junior high, depending on what schools you went to. Where is that going to be the case for them if they are now, it's now illegal? And as I said before, parents and teachers can sue the schools and the teachers for actually teaching this stuff. That's crazy.
So, Uncle Joe, you like to talk about sex before I go to K-Dog. What do you think about this? Do you think we need a bill? Or this is just, you know, this is all hot wash?
Well, I haven't heard about the bill, but knowing DeSantis, he's a very right-wing conservative. So what I think he's his particular attitude about the bill, and probably for most conservatives, is that if it's an LGBTQ bill, it's probably a backlash against the teachings, especially very specific teachings used by drawings of anal sex, homosexual sex, and they don't like it. I don't think that schools should be a feeding ground and a breeding ground for any kind of sexual orientation. Schools should only be for reading, writing, and arithmetic, logic, maybe some geography, and spelling, and everything else should be left up to the parents. Yeah,
that's not the case anymore, apparently, you know. Like, I said, where you're coming from, and I agree with you, but that's not the case anymore, because my 2 year-old kids are in school. What they're learning right now is, like, this is way different from what we learned back then. But I think that's a problem, but what can we do? Because society changed, so does education and how we teach our children change as well, you know. And we discussed in the past before, we used to have home ed classes, sewing classes, you know, cooking classes. They don't do that anymore. Now we have arguments and discussion about, sorry, go ahead.
Those classes were meant to give people a trade, give people a way to find employment. When you're talking
skills.
About, like, So, but when you're talking about sexual orientation, you're talking about a philosophy which they're trying to imprint on children's minds. And the fact that there's homosexuals and heterosexuals on the planet shouldn't be that bothersome. But I think what the conservatives are in an uproar about is that the LGBT community is trying to make people feel as though if you are not gay or if you feel that a person may be strange or weird for being gay, you're either a racist or you're the weird one.
A homophobic.
Yeah.
Well, K-Dog, you have been trapped in the closet for many years. How do you feel about this bill?
What the hell, man? First up, man, hey, man, listen. I am strictly P-U-S-S-Y. I ain't into that shit, so
no
don't try to bring it.
No one
All that. Right.
No one
now.
Wow.
Now.
No one's becoming defensive.
Now.
It's okay to come out the closet, K-Dog. We got you. We've been your friends. We've been
your friends. Gentlemen. Okay, let's get serious now. Now, what's going on now in the education system? You know, we're looking at a whole different aspect from the time that Hot Rod Sean and I have gone to school, thing about education has changed. Now these days, you know, children are being exposed to more things than we were ever exposed to when we were kids. Should you be teaching little children about homosexuality? I don't think so. These kids are way too young to be knowing about this. It shouldn't be taught to them. Because, you know, children are fun. They like to learn, you know, whether they're learning about reading, writing, math, and science, social studies, and all this stuff. But however, when it comes to the whole thing about homosexuality, I don't think that it should be exposed to children, you know, younger than the age of like 13 or so. And, you know, should parents teach their children about things? Yes, they should. You know, but when when they're older. But now, you know, you're exposing these little kids to it. I mean, take, for instance, an innocent show like Sesame Street. We all grew up watching Sesame Street. You know, Bert and Ernie were just friends. And then all of a sudden you start bringing them, like making them look gay. I mean, come on now. Seriously?
There's nothing wrong playing with a rubber ducky in the tub, you know. I'm sure you had that back in the day, too, playing with your rubber ducky in the tub. But that's a whole different story. So you're saying that you're supporting this bill, or you're saying that, okay, what about the kids who are gay right now, who are young, who are transgender or anything? They probably disagree with you right now. Listen, I'm 7 years old. I'm a girl, even though I have a penis. Uncle Cato.
Okay, but psychological of a 7 year old. It's not stopping you from expressing yourself. But I'm just saying, children should not be exposed to that at that age. You know, it's not like I'm being, you know, anti this, anti that. You know, I'm just looking at it from a perspective like it shouldn't be shown little kids. You know, it really should.
Go ahead.
Part of what is going on in this particular instance when we talk about this is trying to find out what the motives are behind this. Because let's really be honest, this was never really a quote-unquote problem or issue where there's rampant quote-unquote gay kids running around trying to push themselves on people. That's not what the case is, because there's always been that stereotype that all gay people are doing are running around trying to push up on people and trying
to instill
their lifestyle onto others. And that's not always with this particular definition of what this bill is supposed to go. That's what is trying to, quote unquote, solve a problem that really doesn't seem to exist. But this is the bigger thing. The person that helped shepherd this bill, like I said, his name is Dennis Baxley. He did an interview in Miami for the local CBS affiliate, and they had asked him, you know, is this singling out gay people? This is his exact quote. He said, this bill does not single out gay people, but he was scared by kids that identify as gay as being seen as school celebrities. I want you to think about that comment. School celebrities.
Why school celebrities?
There seems to be a mindset for a lot of conservatives, especially ones that are along that Bible Belt, the ones that pick up religion, especially those along that Bible Belt, that are so into there is no such thing as being gay. There is no such thing as this quote-unquote lifestyle.
Ones that say all gay people are going to hell.
The mindset is, if you are anything deviating from being Christian, being straight, and in a lot of instances being white and not being a woman, there are a lot of issues that are on the table that now have become legislated against. We're not talking about just the Don't Say Gay bill. Remember, there are books that have been banned in schools now that teach about racial injustice, books that were written by Dr. King, you know, the KKK, white supremacy, lessons on equality and those kinds of things, women's rights. We're seeing abortion being challenged at the highest courts now. A lot of those instances are from a power structure that have always been in this country for a very long time. And because we've seen progress being made in a lot of those topics, we're now starting to see the conservative wing of the country that have the power to make a lot of these votes and a lot of these laws are now trying to legislate the things that they do not agree with and make sure that the people that are in this country that follow through with these are not able to be able to get to what they're looking for in their own lives.
Okay, hello, 4481, you're on the air.
Hey, one of the things I also have to say it should be addressed is people who will go against gay people or immigrants or women, and they sit there and they don't actually care, and they use black people to do it. But then when it actually comes to actual situations that affect black people, I'm specifically talking about like Jesse Lee Peterson, Ann Coulter, and Wild Bill. Basically, they could care less about black people when it comes to actual addressing racism. But then when it comes to actual, like, stuff like gay rights. Ann Coulter said black people owe immigrants, women, and LGBT nothing. And what I did is I went on our Facebook page and I told her off for that. I don't want nobody using me as a pawn like that and then going against other people's rights, especially other minorities. And I told Jesse Lee Peterson off for that too, because he accused Jesse Jackson and NAACP of selling out their community because they went against immigrants. But this is a man that denied what happened in Charlottesville. He denied white supremacy. He said that segregation of restaurants was okay, but all of a sudden he talks to black people like they're stupid. And I don't have – it makes me kind of angry. I'm sorry if I sound angry, but it just makes me angry when people use me as a pawn. Use me as a pawn.
And the pawn –
You speak well, man.
I'd like to know more about this pawn, if you don't mind me asking. How are they using you?
I mean, like, using black people to go against other groups of people. And that are other minorities, but then don't want to speak for us when it comes to actual situations we have to deal with.
One of the names that you can bring up that is in that same mindset is Larry Elder. If you remember, when he went to run for president, he had that same mindset. And I should say not president, but run for governor in California. Same kind of mindset, a black conservative, and literally sounded as if he was almost attacking everything that African Americans had championed. He was completely against. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a conservative if that's what your mindset is. And if that's what your values align with, there's nothing wrong with that if that's what your convictions are. But at the same time, he wanted to use that speaking part and literally denigrating anything seemingly that African Americans and minorities wanted. And that's the part that I think it goes to your point, to go to what you're saying.
But do you think, but gentlemen, do you think part of the problem overall is religion, how people use the religion, whatever you believe in, God,
can I say something about that? Can I say something about that? I'm glad you brought that up. You know what, religion, with so many religions out there, you have these quote-unquote Christian evangelicals who support a lot of things that, and like the gentleman was talking about, conservative policy, quote-unquote, these quote-unquote evangelicals who go around preaching all this stuff they preach. They don't practice what they preach because, okay, if you said that, that you love God, okay, like they always say, God is love. If you love God so much, why are you against? Why are you so racist? If you love God so much,
they're not being racist.
No, here now. Why do you feel that you need to disrespect women? Disrespect anybody who don't live the certain life that you want them to live. That you're a Bible thumping Christian. But yet at the same time, you're preaching division. You're not preaching unity. That's the hypocrisy of a lot of religions and a lot of people. That's what's driving a lot of people away from these churches, because they're looking at these churches and shaking their heads like, wow, you guys say one thing, but you're saying another. And, you know, that's hypocritical. You're being a hypocrite.
Right. Joe, you're a religious type of guy. What do you think about
that? Oh, hell no. I'm an atheist, agnostic. God, no. No.
Yeah.
And there aren't too many religions on the planet. People who believe in religion, they believe mainly because of their book, whatever the book is. It could be the Quran, it could be the Bible. And what they're taught by their parents or by their authority figures in school. But when you really take a look at it, Sean was talking about was absolutely right. The Bible thumpers, the evangelicals, they're the ones who look to the Bible, and they're the ones who use the Bible to be discriminatory against other people so that they can feel good about themselves. The Bible is not meant to unite unless you're going to be united under that one particular God that Bible is all about. But if you're not going to follow the precepts of that Bible, then it's going to cause division. So evangelicals, fundamentalists, Mormons, Catholics, Christians, Protestants, etc., they supposedly have one God, but they have different meanings. If you ask them to interpret one particular phrase, any particular verse of the Bible, they're going to have different definitions. So, no, I'm not a religious person.
Exactly.
Why not, Ron?
You know, this is what I was saying earlier about the whole thing, the hypocrisy of it. People, like I said before, you're being hypocrite. If you say that you believe in one thing, but don't, you can't say that, man. That ain't cool. Don't be a hypocrite.
Back to the caller. I'll go back to the caller, 4481. What do you think about the gay bill? And do you think gay sexual education should be taught to the young kids? I don't know, kindergarten to third, fourth grade, whatever the grade system is.
It should be up to the teachers and the parents. But also, like, the way I feel about the gay bill is, like, we shouldn't try to legislate morality as far as, like, saying gay people can't get married or gay people can't be talked about and they get fired and stuff like that. We shouldn't legislate that type of morality because there's other things that are much more important that we choose not to. The right wing chooses not to do, because like I live in Virginia, and there was a street preacher that she didn't want the health care bill, but she wanted to ban same sex marriage. And I'm like, what kind? You're basically a youth person. Yeah, she would rather ban same sex marriage than to put health care in the bill. And she was a black woman in Richmond.
Okay, see, and that's what I'm talking about. Like overall, like we pick and choose. Like I told Sean Black the other day. All the problems that we have right now, between gas prices, a war, inflation, cable not taking us back once in a while, America's worried about a gay bill. Something that gayness has been around forever. At this point, who cares who's gay, who's not, or whatever? Everybody should have their equal rights. But why in this generation, 2022, Sean Black, we are still having this topic about gayness? It's like you can worship your God, but you cannot get married to the same God. What's up with that? Why are we still having this discussion?
I also want to bring this point up as well. We are in a society where, as we said, there's a bill on the table where you're not able to say gay, not bring up anything that has anything to do with the LGBTQ community. Yet, we have rape, we have murder, we have all kinds of other violent things that are on the news, regular TV, television shows, in our music, in our culture, that I have not heard anybody from the same side say that they wanted to legislate against. But one of the last bastions that are being attacked by the right are a bill like this. And it seems to be a lot of this culture war stuff where the legislation is to legislate out things that make conservatives uncomfortable. And we keep forgetting that there are other people in this country that have to live with the lifestyle that they have, and you're taking those choices away from them and then legislating them and then weaponizing the law against people to literally be snitches, so to speak. It's like, oh, didn't you say something about that person? You said gay in the classroom, right? I'm going to sue the school that you're in to make sure that other kids that are in the class now have one less place to go if that school has to close down. Or I'm going to sue the teacher that's in the classroom because they allowed this lesson to happen. They allowed this syllabus to put this in their class. And meanwhile, we always talk about, well, we shouldn't be teaching about certain things, gender-related, et cetera, et cetera. We teach that stuff from day one. Barbie dolls, blue for boys, pink for girls. All of those things shape who you are within your gender from the day you are born. So to say that being gay, and most people think of it as a misnomer, that you're teaching gay, all it is about rampant sex and that kind of thing, and that's not the case, because there are a lot of issues within the LGBTQ community that are unique to themselves and to their lifestyle, that they seemingly will now have lesser and lesser options to be able to discuss, because you figure you go to school, you're going to learn those kinds of things. Well, that's one less option. And as I've said before, you're going to now force people that are within the LGBTQ community to get to be closeted again. And what you end up having is depression going up, drug use going up, self-harm going up, and eventually suicide will go up. 25% of the LGBTQ community that are students that are in school have either been harassed or have thought about suicide because of the fact that they were harassed. That's what you run the risk of having with a bill like this.
But this is Florida. What do you expect from a state of Florida? The messed up state, you know.
Exactly.
I think with Virginia, most people, at least Virginia, some people have some sense. New York, some people have some sense. Florida, 90% of the people do not have sense overall. I'm sorry. And you know, that's a major Trump state. So, unfortunately, there's one of those bills that doesn't make sense, but it will get passed. And you know what? So be it, you know. Overall.
And a lot of companies that are in Florida are actually against this bill being passed, and they're starting to pull a lot of their money away from investing into the state. Disney, big, big, big company. They have Disney World in Florida. They were saying
exactly.
They're not
what about
to
Universal
add
Studios?
Money into, they're not going to donate to politicians that have actually have been in favor of this bill. Because if you remember the Disney spectrum, there are a lot of people within that community that work for Disney, that work at the amusement
exactly.
park, that work in animation,
exactly.
etc. So you're basically, as an expression goes, pissing in someone's cereal, and there's no reason for it to be done unless there's an agenda that's going to happen here. And then we think we see what the agenda is, because I just told you.
True, I agree with that 100%, but at the same time, you may be pissing somebody else's bowl, or there'll be somebody paying up. You may be losing money at Disney, or another corporation might pick up the bill, you know. But there are people out there who think the same way as these people, and you cannot stop that. There's like this KKK out there, you know, undercover. You know, you have the open racist people. We have still, you still have people that hate gays and lesbians and black and my woman who are undercover, who are lawyers, doctors, policemen. We talk about this all the time. So one door closed, the other one's always open. So that's what I have to say about that. Joe, we got 6 minutes left. Anything else you'd like to say?
One thing that does pop to mind. Did you guys see the video of the Broadway? I'm not Broadway, but broad daylight ramming of an SUV into somebody's garage door and stealing $15,000 worth of equipment?
No.
Where did that happen?
No.
I think it was in California. It was a photographer. And what had happened was, this was the second time it happened, broad daylight. The guy had his garage door down, and a pair of thieves just came along, and they probably scoped them out, rammed the SUV into the garage door to open it up, and just in broad daylight, probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon, just walked on in and leisurely knew what they were stealing, stole it, and left, and then came back a few weeks later to do it again. So the reason why I say that is because of the audacity of what's happening today in America with the flash, the loot and grab, and something like this. I think where we're headed is because of the DAs and the AGs raising the bar on the what's a felony and saying, if you get caught, you don't have to come to trial. And if you do, you don't have to be no cash bail. it's incentivizing a lot of robberies, which is going to incentivize a lot of more gang warfare. So that just came to mind right now.
No, no, I'm glad you brought that up, because to your point, I don't know if it's happening in Virginia also, but in New York, we get those type of robberies all the time, where Sean Black and K-Dog and his friends will go to Louis Vuitton, like there are 20 of them, run to the store, grab whatever they can, and run out with that one security guard in the store, or maybe two, don't know what to do because you have 20, 30 people ransacking inside the store, you know, just grabbing whatever. And there's been a common trend going on. And the people that do get caught, they pay their bill, or there's no trial, and you're back on the streets again. With the store.
Oh, yeah. A perfect example of that. There was something that happened in the subway system in Hot Rod. You'll know what I'm talking about. There was, I believe, I couldn't know if he was homeless or not, but there was an instance where a man attacked a woman who was sitting down on a platform in a subway station. And because the woman did not address him because he was trying to make a pass at her or whatever, she said, ignored him. He went back and put his feces in a bag, attacked this woman by smearing it all over her face, on her back, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's a gruesome, disgusting attack. But what happened was he ended up skating. Basically, he was arrested, and it was looked at as a misdemeanor, and he was back out on the street. Now,
and that's the everyone was upset about that. I remember.
And that's one of the things you're talking about with that bail reform stuff that has to be looked at. I think the essence of the bail reform that was out there was to make sure of nonviolent crimes not wasting a city's time, at least in New York City. That's not what's happened because they don't seem to get on the same page as to what's a misdemeanor and what's something that should get you in jail.
Okay, with 2 minutes left, I have Brother B on the line. Brother B, I'm sorry to everyone. Is there anything you'd like to add before we sign off? Me?
Hey, Brother B. Oh, hey. What's up, everybody?
Greetings and salutations.
Greetings and salutations.
All I'm going to say is Bernard Guest.
2 minutes.
That's all I'm going to say, Bernard Guest.
Bernard Guest.
All you need is a vigilante in the house. All you need is a couple of people to start popping, snip-snipping. These cats on the train, when they start doing this dumb shit, next thing you know, criminals are going to get the message and be like,
It's going to happen.
Hold on. To the guys in Virginia, does this stuff that's happening in Virginia as well?
I'm not sure, but I know something. I go on YouTube a lot, and a lot of these people that claim that want to go against the that see police misconduct, they go against the ones that's not misconduct. But then when the officer actually messes up, they defend them. But then when the cop is actually doing his or her job, they defend the cop. And see, both the people who mess with the cops and do these crimes, and the cops that do this misconduct, they know that they're going to be having some people have their backs on YouTube. And so I don't know if this is similar or not.
YouTube New York, trust me, YouTube New York city crime, we have something we call it 24/7. New York is on a roll with crime and robbery. But on that note,
yes,
guys,
we are.
Thank you so much. Brother B, there's a show tomorrow night on the menu?
Yeah, just don't know yet. But it damn sure ain't going to be about crime, because I'm tired of it.
Mr. Joe, what's up? Yeah. Virginia. I'm sorry, Virginia, thank you so much for calling. Brother B, Sean Black, Joe, K-Dog guys, thank you so much. Stay safe. Save up your money on gas, because, you know, Sean Black is full of gas. And have a good night and stay well.
Thank you so much. And the pleasure was all
yours. Good night,
Joe.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, man.